Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Keeping It Brief. We are a group of poets from Brevity Writers Group and Late Night Poets. We go through poems, reading wonderful writes from awesome poets on the show. And today we are looking at some carryovers from last week, different themes, and then some open poetry. So we got a wonderful board going today. And we have some wonderful people joining us. We usually have Naomi Sarah joining us, but will be not with us today. So there will be myself and Pam Ray. And Weaver of Dreams is trying to come on, and it looks like Captain B, too, will be joining us. And we'll see who else does after a while. So let's find out who's on here. Pam, do we have you?
Well, of course you do, yes. I would have told you, you know, the show wouldn't start if you didn't have me.
Exactly.
So, yes, yes. But yes, I am here, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with you and some, hopefully, you know, other cool poets and delving into some awesome brevity. So it looks like it's a great lineup of poetry that we have. And how are you doing today, Diane?
Oh, Pam, I'm doing good. I've been out of commission for a bit. I kind of had a couple weeks there where, wow. But I am back and in the track and so happy to look forward to these writes and these poems and enjoying the show. I've missed it. I really missed it, reading the writes and getting to know the poets and stuff. And I've missed you guys. I've loved hanging out with you guys and doing the show. So let's see who else is on here. Well, first of all, though, Pam, do you know who's on here?
Yeah.
Let's
of course.
Introduce them.
Okay, well, we have Kate with us. And so far, it's just us three turkeys.
Hello.
Awesome sauce. I'm so glad that you were able to get on, girl. Weaver, it's so good to have you.
Thank you, darling. It took me forever. It took me forever. I thought I was never going to get on, but here I am.
Glad you could be here.
Thank you. Technology, when in doubt, reboot.
When in doubt, but chuck it out.
This is true, too. So we got quite the lineup today, guys. I noticed that there was some there for the theme of rain. I think it was 2 weeks ago at the show I missed. We had a theme of rain, and we have a number of carryovers from that contest and other contests. So let's start and kick it off with the carryovers. Kate, are you set up, girl, to go ahead and pick a poem for us?
Yes, I am, in just 1 second. I'm afraid my old PC is playing up a little bit on me at the moment. I do apologize. So if anything goes like left foot up, it's my fault.
No worries.
Here we are, just about there. As I say, everything just went wrong. Everything just went blank on me. And I thought, sorry, my life, blank. Right. Okay, but I am not panicking. You can tell by my voice.
We missed you, girl.
Thank you. What were you throwing at me? That's an old joke. Think about that.
Throwing at you?
We missed you. What were you throwing at me?
Oh, okay. Now I get it. I'm a little slower.
No, that's just my fault. I've got crap jokes. I mean, terrible jokes. I'm sorry. I've just mucked this up. So just give me a moment to go back. Instead of collecting it, I opened it. What a twit. You can see I'm not on the ball today at all. I had a weird night, horrible nightmares. I always dream I lose my handbag. I don't know why. It's the weirdest thing. Anyway. Nearly there. Yay! Okay, we have First Kisses by Cedar Chapman. Now, am I supposed to ask somebody to read this?
Yes, my dear. If you could just assign a reader, we'll go with you.
Okay. Okay, well then, Pam, would you like to read this?
I would be happy to.
Thank you.
All right. First Kisses by Cedar Chapman. In my rusty cauldron, I stir clipped pixie wings of the past, cotton threads that once wrapped all types of fair maiden bosom, the glistening sweat I licked off your neck as we laid by the crystal lagoon. Like an old drunk wizard fool, I choked down my Instagram potion, obsessively searching for the lustful rapture of my first emoticon orgy. But my thirst is forevermore consumed by first touches and first kisses, caught in a cyclone of fleeting moments of twinkling glitter in black skies. I languish on its distant ripples of light long after the stars have burned, and I sit alone in darkness waiting for each of you to return. End poem.
Brilliant, brilliant read.
That was a great read for a great write. Like, I'm just blown away by this. I love the first kisses and the Instagram, relating to the Instagram and the emoticon and stuff like that. It's so well done. It's really has awesome imagery right from the first phrase, and I'm a stickler for that first phrase. In my rusty cauldron I stir clipped pixie wings of the past. Just the imagery in that is just beautiful. Great right, and awesome. Well done, Cedar. I'm a fan of your work, and this one does not let me down. And Weaver, what did you feel of that?
I'm afraid you're going to have to leave me out for a moment or two or six, because everything's disappeared again.
Absolutely. I'm going to just comment again, because I was just reading it through as you were speaking, and I just picked out the, but my thirst is forevermore, consumed by first touches and first kisses, caught in a cyclone of fleeting moments of twinkling glitter in black skies. I mean, that is so beautifully written and well worded. The wordplay and stuff is just beautiful. Poetic devices are just amazing in this piece. And Pam, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, this is just absolutely beautiful. I love how it's about that, those memories of those first times. And I like how he takes us into the modern age with the mention of the Instagram potion. And it's that combination of mythology and modern age that works so well to bring, have an emotional impact and yet make the poem relatable. I particularly like the imagery in the third stanza with, you know, twinkling glitter and black skies. But, you know, there really was this whole emotional impact in I choked down my Instagram potion, obsessively searching for the lustful rapture of my first emoticon orgy. It feels like the whole idea, remember the first time you flirted with someone online that became something more. So beautifully written and very well done. And just to let you know, Kate dropped and we'll hopefully be back soon.
Oh, okay, sounds good. Well, Pam, very well read and very well described. And I love what you pulled out of there. The modern, that's the word I was looking for, the modern day. That's, it made it relatable and it made it, that's the thing of first kisses these days. First kisses are first kisses no matter where they are and what they are and where they come from. And this is so wonderfully described with that. So, okay, I'll go ahead and I will post the next poem. And hopefully, you know, Kate will make it back with us.
Absolutely.
I'm going to post it. I'm not finding any brevity, so I'm going to post it in Late Night Poets, Pam, and I'm going to ask if you read it while I open up my other window, if you would read a second one.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be happy to
post The Day of Technical Glitches. And it's up, and it is called Sorry and Goodbye by Lady Idealist. If you would read that, Pam.
I would be happy to. All right. Sorry and Goodbye by Lady Idealist. And it goes like this. My letter to you, the one that I can carry through, the sorry and goodbye, wanting to sing a peaceful lullaby. The sadness and pain I brought, sorry for making you feel small. For bringing this inescapable darkness, you fall, even though we leave for fate to play its part, for us to be forever apart. When I should be that strength to carry on, instead I took that away from you, I should be the shoulder you cry on, but with sad circumstance I turn away from you. The last of my goodbyes, this one I fail to realize, that you are the one I dream of having, for that many never-ending goodbyes has come to its final ending. So for once I am sorry, hope to see you again with a smile, that we may see each other again eye to eye. But for now, I bid my sweet but sad goodbye. End poem.
Oh, wow. That is beautiful. And Pam, you read that so beautifully. I choked up with this one. I had to look back at the writer because I didn't know if this was a writer I knew, but I've not read this or heard this writer's work before. So I'm really Lady Idealist. This is beautiful. The letter, I mean, every one of us has written or will write or need to write a letter like that in our lives. And it's such a completeness. It completes where you need to be. And when you're able to let go through a letter like that, the sorry and the goodbye, you know, both are closure on your life. And this is so sad, but so wonderfully written that closure can come at such a peaceful pace and very, very well written. And I'm so, so impressed with this, right? And we'll look for more of this author's writing for sure. And I see that we have Kate back with us, so I'll let her get settled, and I'll go ahead to Pam. Pam, you read that beautifully. What was your take on this one?
Well, it was absolutely beautiful. It was emotive. It was heartfelt. You know, I like how the main message I get from it is the idea of knowing that an apology doesn't always fix a relationship, that sometimes you have to say your sorries, mean them, find that sense of peace and that sense of hope for that other person and yourself, and learn just to move on. You know, the realization what you should have been is the idea of hindsight 2020. And I really like particularly the emotional impact of the last two stanzas. I thought this was beautifully written, very well done, and I am looking forward to hearing more rights by Lady Idealist. So very well done.
Well said, Pam. Very well said. I totally agree that, you know, there's sometimes sorry and goodbye need to be said together. Sometimes you can't do one without the other. And to be able to put it in writing and tie it up and put them both in there and get some closure and write it so beautifully is just amazing and so well done. And Kate, I don't know if you got a chance, my dear, to read this one or follow along with us.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't. Everything had disappeared, so I've been sort of fighting back. So could you just
no
carry on for
worries.
A moment? Thank you.
No problem. Okay, so are you set up to grab the next one, A Dog's Memos by Jack Blue?
Yes, I do. It's there. A Dog's Memos. Well, you see, it's not even sending now. Oh, my God. I think I may have to bow out, ladies. This is just not working for me tonight. Oh, there it is.
Oh, you got it, girl.
I got it. My goodness me. I think the gods are against me tonight. I'm so sorry.
Well, we're not against you, so we'll work with you.
Thank you. Would you like to read this one, please?
I sure would. This is called A Dog's Memos Number 3 by Jack Blue. Oh, my little silver streak, I found a yellow parakeet flying upside down to the woods uptown. As if from the earthly gate, idly tuned the lunar strait. During his eccentric flight, ladybugs meandered bright, chattering on something big. He got caught on the twig. Through the lazy afternoon, we could see the lilac moon, ambling nobly on the beat,
I pursued my parakeet and his shadow beckoning tomorrow's lovely thing. Well, I let him go and sat with a leaflet on my hat. End poem. Wonderful, wonderful, right? I enjoy that, reading it right. It was so, I don't know why, but the color yellow comes to mind. It brought yellow for me. It just brightened up for me. This little puppy on, or the dog's memos. It just, the imagery and the word choice. Ladybugs meandered bright. And the rhyming, excellent rhyming. Great job on the rhyming and well written wordplay. And Kate, what did you have to feel on this one?
Oh, I think it's just so bright is the word for it. Isn't it lovely? And the pictures it brings to mind is hilarious for me. On my little silver street, I found a yellow parakeet flying upside down. Well, it's so cute. Why would it be flying upside down? Anyway, I thought it was lovely. During his eccentric flight, ladybirds meandered bright, chattering on something big, obviously a lot going on. He got caught in a twig. Silly person. Yes, I think this is absolutely lovely. It brings you up, doesn't it? I mean, I could do with being brought up hence at the moment, and that just made me smile, which is lovely. So, yes, I always love this stuff. It's just so unusual and different, isn't it? Should one call it stuff? No, I don't think so. One should call it poetry. I like his poetry. Yes, beautifully done, Jack, and thank you very much for sharing.
Well said, Weaver, well said. When I hear it from your voice too, I see the little trip down the little silver street that we're taking with the yellow parakeet, and so creative to throw in there, flying upside down to the woods uptown. Like, just, it's so creative, so bubbly, so light, and taking us on this trip of this little puppy. And like you said, Kate, so much going on, ladybugs meandering and you know, lazy afternoon with the lilac moon. So many things going on that you're skipping through this little piece. It's so wonderful. And Pam, what did you think of this?
Yeah, this is absolutely delightful. It puts a smile on my face. I enjoyed it all the way through. It had a really nice rhyme and flow to it. And I do especially like that second stanza. So just beautifully written and very well done.
I agree. It captures you. It's a fun piece that gives you a fun feeling, and really well written. Great title, great piece for the show here. Thank you so much, Jack, for sending this one in for us. Very much appreciated. Okay, and Weaver, what do you have for us next?
We have Winter's Glamour Orchestra by Randa Yossari. Very sorry, Randa. Not very good at pronouncing names. I think I'll read this. Shall I read this? Why not? Be adventurous. Right. You know, I talk to myself. It's quite scary. Right, here we are. The lightning's quick step flaring, bending surely towards the earth, guiding dreamy imagination's trips. Thunder's bell pealing like a euphonious rock band, the chipper cloudbirds flapping their wings, the crescendo of vigorous whirlwinds freed, the crystal eyes of the starry sky sparkling, the horizon blazing in an incredible cosmic glimmer, the luminous faces of streams, the dead-looking evergreen, furs dancing samba in sync, rain drumming on cheeks, anguish melting, eagerly sliding into a moment of elegance. An allure wins admiration, a bright glare making my senses open. End poem.
Wow, that was beautifully read and beautifully written. Very well done. I enjoy Rhonda's work. I see some of her stuff on the reading list and stuff, and her work is just, it
she has a uniqueness, and it shows in her writing. And she pulls out things that I sometimes wonder, where did she pull that one from? But it's just so amazing the way it flows. And I was particularly captured by the crystal eyes of the starry sky sparkling, the horizon blazing in an incredible cosmic glimmer, the luminous faces of streams. Like she captured that image in there, and she captured the image that many of us will see looking up at the sky. But I am amazed at how she pulled that out. Really, really well written and well done. And Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Yeah, this has amazing use of imagery and metaphors. What I really like about this is that she captured the power of a storm and the way that it opens our senses. You know, there's something about when that electricity is going through the air, you know, and your hair is standing on end on the back of your neck, and you just feel like that, the vibrations. You know, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but you know what I mean? There's just something very invigorating about the way a storm feels. Really just powerful imagery all the way through, and very well done.
Very well said. And you know, like you say, she captured that imagery, and she captured the senses. She captured the sound, and in that storm, you know, like you can almost hear that string of lightning. You can hear it through thunder's bells pealing like an euphonous rock band, the chipper cloudbirds flapping their wings, the crescendo of vigorous whirlwinds breed. You can hear the whirlwinds, you can hear the cloudbirds, you can hear the rock band all through this wonderful image and throughout the piece. It's just so well written and well worded. I'm enjoying this piece. And Kate, what did you see in this one?
Oh, yes, this is lovely. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. You'll be pleased to hear. Excuse me one second. Oh, dearie me. Yes, I thought it was just beautiful. It's lyrical. I particularly like the last stanza because I'm a sucker for rain. Rain drumming on cheek, anguish melting, eagerly sliding into a moment of elegance. An allure wins admiration, a bright making my senses open. Ah, there's a beautiful ending to it, isn't it? Just lovely. Because when you get all the bang and the thump and the thunder and the lightning, then comes the rain, and it's lovely. Yes, beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you for mentioning the lyrical part of it, because that's exactly what I felt. Is I felt the rhythm and throughout the whole thing, and it was music to me, and appropriately titled orchestra. It's just captured so well and very enjoyable piece. Thank you, Rhonda. And okay, Weaver, my friend, where do you have us going next?
Next we have Shades of Love by JEGC25. And Pam, would you like to read this?
I would be happy to. All right. Oh, no, sorry, I can't read that one.
Okay, my darling, no problem. Right, Diane, would you like to read this?
I sure will. I will go ahead and read Shades of Love by JEG325. I don't know how that's usually pronounced, but I'll go with that. Okay, her words are Shades of Love. Her words smashed into me on this out-of-control train. I lassoed the angry hornets, firing a dark, wrathful rain. Venom falling as black ash, no gray amid chilly embers. Did love shine briefly once, spring turned to December. Black, gray, or white as light, shades from every romance. Before the door's final slam, I wondered, what color is a lost chance? End poem. I love that ending. What color is a last chance? And, you know, I'm reading the author's notes. I had a similar experience to this at the end of my very first romance many, many years ago. And what an experience, you know, a beautiful experience, like an out-of-control train or angry hornets. And it's just like, what a wonderfully chaotic but wonderful experience of Shades of Love, and just very well written. And Weaver, what did you feel on this one?
Yes, again, very well written. The words actually are coming at you, aren't they? They're coming at you like a hammer. Words smashed, venom falling as black ash, black, gray, or whitish light shades from everywhere. Yes, it's very tight, very full of movement. Yeah, I would say that, definitely. Before the door's final slam, I wondered what color is a lost chance. Yeah, a lot of those go past, don't they? Lost chances. Yes, I thought it was very well written, and it certainly got the emotion across very, very easily. So yes, a great write. Thank you very much.
Yes, it was very well written, and the theme of lost, like it is, like lost love, lost chances, and ends of first love and letting it go. And I like the prompt, we've all got both light and dark inside us. What matters is the part we choose to act on. That's who we really are. And if that was really well written too, because that is who we are. And that is how love comes out. That's what the shades of love are like. And you can never tell what's going to happen. It could be a train out of control. It could be angry hornets. It could be spring turning to December. It's amazing how the imagery here pulls out the possibilities of the shades of love. Really, really well written. And Pam, what did you think?
This was a beautiful and heartfelt write. I do have to agree with both of you. It's wonderful how it's about that which we have lost, you know, and it just really touches the heart, and it's very well done.
And there's hope. There's hope even because, you know, after our first love, I know my daughter is looking at we're going through stuff like that right now. And it's like after that first one is not the one you're looking for and you haven't found your person, then you have to move on. And this tells that, you know, there's different shades of love and go from what you experienced from the beginning. And really well written. Great job on this. Thank you so much for sending it in, JPEG 325. Sorry, my bad. Okay, and Weaver, my friend, what do you have for us next?
We have Heart's Rain by J. Rose Anna. And Pam, would you like to read this?
I would be happy to. Heart's Rain by J. Rose Anna. Through the lens of raindrops, my vessel stops, trembling fractals of emotions, hurling from heaven's commotions, raining, spitting, gushing, raging, splattering, splatting, flooding. This cloudburst deluge, I spill my hope rough, swamped and smattered, head to toe, yet the only drop that mattered, the one that fell from me for you. End poem.
Oh, no, I really like the creativity and the way that last two lines are written. Or the last four lines, head to toe, yet the only drop that mattered, the one that fell from me for you. So all these drops in Heart's Rain pour, and all these drops, you know, starting with raining, then spitting, then gushing, raging, splatting, flooding, like the way she crept up to this flooding heartburst of rain. And the deluge that she spills her hopes and stuff, and then comes to the one that matters was the one that fell from me for you. Just so well done. Really wrapped up nicely. I'm really impressed with this piece. And Pam, you read that beautifully. What did you think of this piece?
Yeah, I have to agree. I really like the title, Hearts Ringing. And I like how she brings us into this imagery of the rain just pouring, the spitting, the gushing, the raging, the different ways you can imagine a hard, heavy rain being described. And then, as you mentioned, that end line just, it wraps it up beautifully, and the whole thought that the rain going on the outside doesn't matter because there's so much rain, storm, and sadness going on the inside. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yes, and very well said. That's what the last four lines did for me. It took me right from this pouring of rain to this one feeling of the rain for the rain of the heart. It was just so powerful, and the word choices, swamp and smattered. I just love that alliteration, and the poetic device is just very well done, Jay, very well done. And Weaver, what did you get from this one?
Well, everything has been said. You've all said exactly what I was thinking, which is wonderful. But I thought, as you had, the last four lines were wonderful. And I also liked, well, I didn't like, but I really felt in the AN, a time in the rain when all I could feel was pain. Oh, we've all been there, haven't we? It's the saddest of things, because you feel like you're never going to get past it or over it. It's going to be with you and haunt you forever. But everything that happens in life shapes us, makes us, and hopefully for the better, you know, and not dropping into bitterness, which can happen so often. Love is a very difficult thing, very difficult thing. And it causes, I don't know why we bother with it, to be quite frank, because it causes so much heartache. I mean, what's that about? But yes, I thought that was absolutely beautiful. I loved all the words for the rain, spitting, gushing, raging. I mean, it's just beautiful. And I thought it was very well done, Jay. Thank you very much for sharing.
Yes, so true. Love, I don't know why we bother with it, but we do, girl, because we're human beings and we love love. So with that, thank you, Jay Rosanna, for sending that piece in. And where do we go next?
We have Hubris by D.P. Soup. I will read this. Hubris, I like that word. Ah, very nice. So I flew higher and higher still, overlooking the advice of angels in the past as my wings melt away. End poem. Lovely.
I'm going to find out what hubris is. I'm going to confess that I don't know what hubris means. So I'm going to look up what hubris means, and maybe one of you already know. So I'm going to go ahead and ask. Pam, what was your take on this one?
Hubris is excessive pride or self-confidence. Yes. You know, I actually found this extremely beautiful and powerful. I mean, so much in only a few words. I really liked the reference to Icarus, whose father built the wings so they could escape and was warned not to fly too close to the sun. And so, you know, I thought this was an amazing brevity about someone who carelessly seeks power, who carelessly, who has this a sense of their, between the title and the reference to Icarus, you feel like there's this whole idea of someone who has a blinding sense of their own importance. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Very well said. And I now, after hearing that, thank you very much for that, Pam. The self-confidence, so I flew higher and higher still, overlooking the advice of angels in the past. There's such a statement here of I will fly higher, I will have confidence. And who is Icarus? I love that little take on who is Icarus, and as my wings melt away. Great play on Icarus's role and being a master crafter of wings and the labyrinth. And it's just so well done and well put together and cute. I like the little humor in it and enjoyed that piece of it. It was just so well done. And Weaver, what was your take on this one?
Oh, I enjoyed reading it very much. Again, one of those ones that you don't stumble over. You just go through it and you just feel it as you go. And that little bit at the end I thought was hilarious. Who is Icarus? Ha! As my wings melt away. Oh, dear. Yes, I thought that was wonderful. I thought, again, in so few words you have the whole story of someone who knows they know best and finds out, oh, no, I don't, as they hurtle to the ground. I thought it was beautifully done and such a good grasp on what the story he wanted to tell was in those few words. So very well done, Mr. DP. I loved it.
It was very well done. Another, I've not read DP's work before, but I really enjoyed this. I enjoyed the play on it. I enjoyed the seeking the sun, the ego. I enjoyed the 25 words that says it all. Really, mm-hmm. really well done. So thank you very much, DP, for sending that in. And where are we headed next?
Next we have Scattered to the Wind by Darius Ace One. Pam, would you like to read this?
Absolutely. All right. And Scattered to the Wind by Darius Ace One. As the butterfly's wings are clipped by the wind, it snaps, falling to earth like a lotus flower. It floats in its own reflection before bursting into flames. The embers light up and burn out like a match toward the stars, never quite reaching the pocket of light that glitters in between the lonely darkness, hoping to reconcile with the light that it yearns to be a part of. But like some light, it fades away, turning to ash so easily, so fragile it breaks apart and scatters in different directions, forever shattered into fragments that can never be whole again. End poem.
Wow, that is so beautifully written. Pam, that was well read. Scattered to the wind, as the butterfly wings are clipped by the wind. It starts out with that first line. It snaps, falling to earth like a lotus flower. And it just flows, and it leads you into a place where you appreciate this butterfly wings being scattered, and you appreciate the metaphor that goes with it. It's just amazing poetic writing on this piece, and so glad it was submitted. And Weaver, what's your take on this one?
Oh, yes, that beautifully, beautifully written. Butterfly's wings clipped by the wind. Oh. It has so much imagery in it for me, and I'm not really very good with that most of the time. I don't have that kind of brain that sees pictures. It's just not that way my mind works. But I can actually envisage this, which is lovely, because he's got it all there for me. Falling to the earth like a lotus flower, floats in its own reflection before bursting into flames. Just beautifully written. It's just... there's so much, I'm just looking at it as I'm reading it, but like some light, it fades quickly to turn to ash so easily, so fragile it breaks apart and scatters in different directions. Yes, so this to me speaks of something that is felt very deeply, but because it can be burned, because it can turn to ash, it's away, it's gone, it's fragile and it's broken and it's gone in different directions. And it can never come back again. So it's a very deep piece of poetry. I like ones that make me think. And this one certainly did. So thank you very much, Darius.
Yes, it does make you think. And as you're going through, and you're thinking of this, you're following these butterfly wings, and there's a sadness in the end. There's a sadness that these fragments can never be whole again, and that's so true. I mean, that's part of our life. Things happen in our life, and they become fragments, and they can never be whole again, and that's not always a bad thing. That's sometimes a good thing that they can never be whole again, because in pieces we can look at things differently than we can as a whole. And I just love the imagery and the metaphor that was put into this piece and well worded. And Pam, what was your take on this?
See here. Well, first of all, I like the use of a butterfly as a metaphor, especially one, you know, because they're so delicate and can be so easily broken. I thought this was a beautiful and emotive write. I guess I just feel like it's somebody's whole idea for searching for love, even for wisdom. I think it's a layered piece. It's a whole idea of searching for whatever gives you light, but falling apart in the process of the search. So beautifully written and very well done.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Really well written. Thank you, Darius Ace One, for sending that in. We very much enjoyed that. And that piece was the end of our carryover. So we are moving on to open poetry. So let's go ahead with Weaver pick one for what's up next.
Right. I've got Withered Roses by Peter Allen, but that's not his usual avatar. Pam, is there something you'd like to tell me?
No, sorry, there's no gossip going on. No, nothing.
Not at all. Would I think that? Not for a second.
Romance between cows, yes. No, not at all. But before we move on with this poem, I would like to mention that Bobby has joined us. So welcome, Bobby. Glad you could be here.
Me too.
Bobby.
Hey.
Bobby, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you join us.
Yeah, it sounds like all this giggling going on. It sounds like I missed something.
Oh, we're having a lot of laughs here today.
Oh, well, I'm glad I'm here then.
Bobby, you can blame Peter for that one. That was set up by him, and I was just the unwilling participant.
That's a good story. Stick with it.
Yeah, well, I'm working on that one. This has got a SoundCloud, by the way.
Yes, it does. And I'll go ahead and push play. Here we go.
Poem, Withered Roses. Night arrived through my open windows and traveled the journey to my empty hall. I stand on the street without moonlight, under the sky without stars. Darkness tramples over my days like a stampeding crowd. Poems I wrote decompose like leaves blown into an abandoned graveyard. The sun falls from the majestic tree with broken wings. F. Scott Fitzgerald and I share the same glass of acid wine. In my unattended garden, yellow roses turn black and wither. The distance between us is measured not in light, but dark years. My cantor sings dirges and not the boleros buried in Argentinian dust. End poem.
Thank you so much, Peter. That was beautifully read and beautifully written. And for everyone, if you're able to call into the show to read your piece, that's great. If not, and you want to make a SoundCloud and send us a SoundCloud, we are no less happy to have a SoundCloud that's in the writer's voice, written and read by them. It just adds to that. They know They know what they want in the theme. They know how to read it. It just makes the piece come out so vividly. And so thank you very much, Peter, for sending that SoundCloud. And Pam, what would you like to put out on this? Withered Roses.
Well, you know, I always enjoy when Peter makes the SoundCloud and writes for shows. He has a beautiful romantic style. Here, I like that he takes us into the voice of somebody who's suffering from depression. And the two parts that really grabbed my attention, to me, this was about that depression suffered in the nighttime hours, because that's when loneliness, that's when the awareness of everything you feel seems to be at its strongest. I particularly liked the references to the garden, you know, the idea of in my untended garden, yellow roses turn black and wither, because there's this idea that when somebody has depression, you know, to me that, you know, they tend not to take care of life. They tend not to take care of themselves. Another part that I really grabbed a hold of was, of course, the reference to F. Scott Fitzgerald. F. Scott Fitzgerald and I should share the same glass of acid wine. You know, it seems so oftentimes creativity and despair go hand in hand. So, you know, beautifully written and very well done.
Very well said, Pam, and I so agree with the emotive, the emotions in here, the feeling of the depression and the description of the depression, because, you know, depression touches, you know, almost everyone, and we're in life at one time or another, depression touches us, and it's powerful, and like the author's notes say, you know, sometimes it would be good to just feel anything at all, and depression doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like anything sometimes, you know. It's like the sun did fall from the majestic tree with broken wings. And it's like yellow roses do turn black and wither, and we can't see beauty beyond the depression. And it's just so powerfully written and well captured here, Peter. Amazing work. And Bobby, what was your take on this?
Oh, my gosh. This, what an exquisitely written brevity. Rich, very textured and layered metaphors, very evocative. Of a very sad, melancholy tone. I dare not pluck any line from this, lest I do disservice to the rest. It just is so complete, so beautiful. The metaphors like days like stampeding, darkness tramples like a stampeding crowd. I stand a street without moonlight. I mean, the word picture here is just so elegant and so beautifully painted. I'm going to tuck this one away in my favorites.
Yes, indeed. It certainly deserves a place like that for sure, because what is captured here is just so full of feeling and emotion, and I just keep reading the lines over and over, and I'm just so impressed with the wordplay. And there was one piece here I was looking at. Okay, poems I wrote decomposed like leaves blown into an abandoned
crater. Yes.
And
yes.
Isn't that the truth? You know, when you're writing under the umbrella of depression, Your poems, it's like they decompose in front of you. Your words just somehow take on a different life. And that's so well captured here. Great job. Great job, Peter. And Weaver, I don't know, girl, if you dropped it and got a chance to read that one.
Yes, I read it while everybody else was talking. I just got thrown out, but I got back. They can't keep me down. Yes.
You go, girl.
Thank you. I just get so annoyed sometimes, because when things start to go wrong, it seems to sort of escalate, and because you're tense, it makes it worse. But I'm all right. I'm deep breath. Yes, I thought I have luckily touched any kind of wood I can find. Never suffered from depression. I know people who have, and this tells me exactly how that must feel. It just basically captures all that you have within you and just squeezes it and squeezes out all of the feeling and leaves you abandoned. It must be dreadful. If you don't even have the spirit to get angry, you just accept that. No, that's really beautifully written. I really thought that was beautiful. It makes me understand that it's beautifully written. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, Peter. And thank you for getting me into trouble.
girl, you're not in trouble. this was a great write, and thank you for submitting it, Peter. It was very, very well received and enjoyed by us, very much so. And Kate, my friend, where are we headed next?
We have Hot Air Balloon by J. Rose Anna. That rings a bell. Yes, and this has got a SoundCloud.
Oh, yes, it does. And let me go ahead and push play on that. So here we go.
Thank you.
Hot air balloon. Some days I feel like a hot air balloon. Some days I'm holding the rope. Some days I feel like soaring up high. And some days, well, I just don't. On the days when I dream of floating proud, I could fill the world with hope. On the days when I feel tied to the ground, it's all I can do to cope. Days afloat are when I am found, anxiety and fear elopes. On the days when my fears abound, I cling on best I can to slippery slopes. Some days I look to the clouds in the sky, some days my head just falls and I cry. Some days I wonder if I really belong, and some days I fear I may not be strong. And some days I feel like yes, 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 some days I retreat with no. But the days when fear outweighs hope are days when strong winds blow. And it's in those winds that I really know how well I truly cope. Because it's not the fear of holding the rope. The fear is letting go.
Wow. That was so well read, so well written. Hot air balloon, what it feels like, I can imagine, like, you know, that balloon of heavy. And I love the repetition. Some days it fits really well in this piece. It flows and each one emphasizes more and more. And the comparison between what it feels like to be floating proud and fill the world with hope, and then on days you cannot even cope. It's so well described and relatable, very relatable, because this is what goes on in life. Life is, you expect the unexpected in life. One day you wake up one way and one day it's another. And this is captured so well of waking up in that place where you're not so comfortable being, and just really well written. And Pam, what was your take on this?
You know, I have to admit that this one really touched my heart. I do so much commenting on contests, on shows, that I don't always have time for that little extra reading and commenting, which is something I'm trying to work on. But this was one where I saw it on the LNP reading list, and I just had to comment on it. First of all, the repetitive lines did offer it a beautiful lyrical quality. It had a wonderful rhyme and flow to it. So on a technical level, it was, you know, a really great write. What I liked about this is that it was about that whole idea to me of when fear really grips our heart and we're holding on to the familiar, we're holding on to what we know, and we realize that the fear is the letting go, the fear is the fall, but sometimes, you know, the fall has to happen. I really do like that. Some days I look into the clouds and the sky. Some days my head just falls and I cry. Some days I wonder if I really belong. Some days I fear I may not be strong. And I think, as you were mentioning, we all have days like that, especially when we're going through trying times in our lives. So just I have to say, you know, kudos to J. Rose Anna on this one. It's beautifully written from the heart and very well done.
Very much agree. And the letting go that you referred to, Pam, I mean, that's so true. The fear of letting go is sometimes strong enough in life that it can captivate us for decades, years. We can go on hanging on, hanging on, hanging on, and afraid to let go of that rope because we don't know what's going to happen and we're afraid of what's going to happen. But most times when we let go, what happens is probably the best thing that can happen. So it's really well said how we hang on to that rope and sometimes to a fault. And then when we finally let go, look, things will come out of it that are different and raise us up. And this was just, I love that last line, the fear is letting go, because it is true. Once you let go, the fear goes too. And Kate, what was your take?
Yes, I could feel the emotion coming through. It was palpable, so well read. Yes, I think if someone can put up with feeling like that on a day-to-day basis, holding on and holding on, you've done the worst, you've had the worst. I think if you let go, you'll be able to cope with anything that comes your way. If you can have gone through your life feeling like this, I mean, that slippery slope. Sometimes things can change. And I think we learn by that so easily because it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to live with fear. And I think I'd hang on. I don't think I'd let go. I'm one of the life's cowards. I don't really want to know. But I think the best thing for anybody in that position is to be as strong as this person that's been written about in this poem has been and can always cope, will always cope. It is harder. Yes, I understand sometimes it can be harder. But I think this was beautifully written. And it just conveyed everything that one person can go through dealing with something that is bigger than themselves and still be strong. That's incredible. So beautifully written. I really enjoyed that.
Yes, and I agree with the fear of letting go. It's like once you do that letting go, you know, it's like life has a way of throwing things at us and life has a way of victimizing us at times. And the letting go of that place where we're victimized is sometimes so hard. But when we do, that's when we move from a victim to a survivor. And letting go is tied into surviving and seeping up all you can out of your experience. So well written. And Bobby, what was your take on this?
Agree. Very well crafted, right. Very emotionally evocative. Very melodious rhyming scheme and a wonderful cadence. Some days I look through the clouds in the sky. Some days my head just falls and I cry. Some days I wonder if I really belong. Some days I fear I may not be strong. I agree that the refrain really propels the emotions forward. The line that everyone else is seems to be citing, because it is not the fear of holding the rope, the fear is letting go. I think this is line expresses very well what the agony people, some people go through, exchanging the devil we know for the devil we don't know. And sometimes that's where the paralysis is because we're dealing with the devil we know to let go of that, the edge of the pool, and push off and go into the deep end for the devil we don't know. Sometimes is even more terrifying. And it's not a matter of survival. It's just a matter of exchanging one evil for another. And we just would rather stick with what we know because at least we've found a way to survive it. But it's an exquisite analogy for the vicissitudes of life, the elation and the melancholy, wonderfully expressed by the movements of the balloon. This is a really superb piece.
Yes, I agree. I enjoyed that balloon metaphor, and it is. It's, you know, which devil you want to go with and which one is bigger, and you don't know that sometimes, but you just do it. And very well said, Bobby. Thank you very much. And Weaver, where are we headed next?
Well, next we have Trend by Barbara G. I will read this one. Okay, Bound by Trend. Sterile is now in fashion. Chrome and glass decor. Organic will offend. Keep plastic counters bare. Hold back that smile. It speaks of character. Expression isn't cool. Vapid is the goal. Inquiring minds are boring. Vacant heads are in. A false show of intention. A postured mannequin. So flash your labels. Prescribe designer brands. Your jacket says Armani. Your shoes speak tired trend. The grunge look is out. Tailored chic, your cue. Skinny jeans bind your crotch as trending neuters you. End poem.
Oh, well read, Kate. Very well read. And so funny, so true. And I love this piece. It's got a... Sterilization is such a well-written description of sterilized. It's just so true. Chrome and glass, that's sterilized. I mean, when you or silver, when you go into a hospital, everything's silver and white, sterilized. And it's just, I love the, because I, in the author's notes, the topic was sterilized, and it's just so well captured. And Kate, you read that so well. What did you think of that?
Oh, I thought it was absolutely marvelous. I love it. I got down to the end and I thought, I can't say this. I'm going to laugh. Oh, so beautifully done. I mean, it just bounces in your head and it's just beautifully metered. But I mean, I'm a designer junkie. In as much as I buy designer gear and I sell it on eBay, that's how much of a junkie I am. So I am really into trends and things like that. I love it a lot. But it is just that. It's sterilized. You're not what you are. You are what you wear. And that is the truth of it. That's what people judge you by. That's an awful lot to do with the World Wide Web and everything that is so quick to come to people's eyes. I don't know if fashion can even last more than 2 minutes nowadays. But yes, beautifully. I'm so envious. It's so beautiful. And I love the last stanza. So cool. Yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Barbara. You are amazing.
Very well said, Weaver, and very true. I love the first line, sterile is now in fashion. It's like, and brand names, yeah, like for me, you know, I lost like 165 pounds recently, so I haven't bought clothes forever. And to hear, you know, of the labels and stuff like that, it's like designer brands and the look that's in is so true. And I never ever thought of that because I never really thought of fashion at that time. But now it's so true. It's like when you go for that look, what look are you looking for? And what look do you want to put out? And this was just beautifully written on that, Bound by Trend. I like that title as well. And Bobby, my friend, what did you feel on this one?
Well, I feel I need to have a sidebar conversation with you because I'm trying to lose a whole person myself. So text me or email. I need to talk to you. I want to find out what
me
magic
too.
You did. Because I want to climb on board that carpet. No, seriously, though, I think this is a wonderfully wry wit and acerbic humor. The grunge look is out, tailored chic, your cue, skinny jeans bind your crutch as trending neuters you. This is such a wonderfully colloquial and conversational, but it bounces along very snappy, very clever. The visual imagery is inescapable. I mean, this is such a wonderfully clever indictment of people who are held hostage by labels and trends.
So true. Held hostage, and I love your choice of words, Bobby. Held hostage, and you know the skinny jeans bind your crotch. I don't know. Skinny jeans were always for skinny people. Skinny jeans bind your crotch. It's so true. It's like you're discomforting yourself to abide by trends because, like she said, trends neuter you, and that it does. It holds us hostage. Trends in everything. Trends in fashion.
Yeah.
Trends in technology. Trends in everything.
Yeah. I remember
so
when I was
very,
in
very
undergrad.
Well done, Barbara.
Yeah.
And Pam, I don't know if you're back or if you got a chance on that one.
I actually had read this one earlier, and yes, it was funny. I liked what you and Bobby had to say. I missed, unfortunately, Weaver's comment. But yeah, I really liked this all the way through. It cracked me up. It was, you know, the whole idea of people who just have to have the latest name brands. And who think that, you know, they want to express themselves in this idea of a sterilized perfection that really isn't meant to exist, at least not in my opinion. You know, so just a clever write and very well done.
Yes. Yeah.
I like that, Pam, sterilized perfection. I like that because that wraps up the whole thing for me is perfection is not achievable. And so if we're being held hostage by these trends, we just need to remember that perfection's not achievable. So really well said and great, right, Barbara? Thank you for sending that in. And Weaver, where are we headed next?
We have The Lotus Eaters by John Roper. Now this has a SoundCloud, I think.
Yeah, it sure does. And here we go.
The Lotus Eaters. On the flat roof beneath my balcony, a line of washing dangles in a breath of wind, and the girl that works at night oils her limbs against the unblinking sun. Tourists in shorts and shades nod to the unshaven expat in crumpled Oxford bags, who sits by the crescent harbour, a sleeper dozing like a lizard on a stone. Overhead, a twin engine plane vibrates like a fat blue bottle waiting to unload. I hold my breath in the stillness between the dying fall and the fade to black and white.
Hello. Are you on mute, Diane?
No. Hello?
Oh, I am there we on mute. Yes, Kitty Cat was meowing, so I had to go on mute. Okay, so beautiful piece and beautiful image, you know, really well captured the image. And the wording, the metaphors and the choice of imagery in this, tourists in shorts and shades nod to the unshaven expat in crumpled Oxford bags who sits by the crescent harbor. I love that. It's just so vivid and so pulls everything out of there. It's just amazing, right? By John. It's just a beautiful written piece. And Bobby, what was your take on this piece?
Again, the metaphors. I mean, the unshaven expat in crumpled Oxford who sits by the Crescent Harbor, a sleeper dozing like a lizard on a stone. And what a wonderfully descriptive metaphor. I mean, you can see the lizard in the sunshine on the warm stone, just dormant. And it's overhead a twin engine plane vibrant like a fat blue bottle waiting to unload. Again, a wonderful metaphor. Who among us hasn't seen a blue bottle or green bottle fly fatly buzzing around in the summer? It conjures beautiful visual imagery. It also is very tactile. I mean, the phrases he uses evoke warmth and evoke sunshine and evoke that that lethargy of almost like dolce far niente that you feel just by looking at the picture. It's beautifully written.
Very much agree. Beautifully written. I like the metaphor and the image that comes out with the girl that works at night, oils her limbs against the unblinking sun. I love that image of the unblinking sun at night because, the sun won't blink at night. And that was so well written. And what you said to Bobby about the oil, like, moving throughout and the flow that goes with it and everything is so well written. I very much enjoyed it. And Pam, what did you have on this piece?
Well, honestly, I thought this piece was absolutely brilliant. I loved the layered complexity of it, the imagery of a sleeper dozing like a lizard on a stone. And of course, you know, I was looking at his AN, which where he mentions a sleeper is a spy integrated into a target country who may be activated if required. The Lotus Eaters is actually, the title itself is a very important clue to the poem itself and the what it has in it. Because in Greek mythology, the lotus eaters were a race of people living on an island dominated by the lotus tree. And the fruit of this tree was known to put the inhabitants into a sleep and peaceful apathy. And those who ate the plant never cared to report any dangers. You know, they were sent to the island to gather information. And fell into that state of apathy. So figuratively, nowadays, we use the term lotus eaters to denote a person who spends their time indulging in pleasures and luxury rather than dealing with practical concerns. And so you have all this beautiful imagery. And then you get to, I hold my breath in the stillness between the dying fall and the fade to black and white. And you realize that here on this paradise, bombs are about to be dropped. And this person who was sent there to be the spy, the sleeper, never got out because they were too busy enjoying the luxuries of life to even care about the danger that was coming forth. And that makes a great metaphor. Like Bobby was talking about the metaphors and this. Yeah, it makes a great metaphor for the idea of those of us who keep our eyes and our minds shut rather than be aware what kind of danger is being offered up in life. So beautifully written and very well done.
And beautifully described, Pam, because that just brought out that second stanza for me. Because, like, we're tourists in shorts and shades, and we're going through with our Oxford bags, and we're like non-existent. We're sleeping lizards on a stone. And it's just, so very well pulled out there, Pam. Thank you very much for putting that in. And did I ask everyone?
No.
I think I did.
Yes.
Okay. So great poem, Peter. Thank you. Or John, thank you very much. And what we have next, Weaver?
We have Words by Cedar Chapman. And Bobby, would you like to read this?
I would be delighted to read it. Words by Cedar Chapman. Your words used to send shivers up my thigh to my lung until I couldn't breathe. All I wanted each night was to taste the rose water on your lips. Now words just bleed me dry like a butchered cattle hanging on a meat hook for grisly men to skin and carve, peeling away my most precious pieces. Quickled deep to my bone, I scream. My pupils dilated wide, my spile frozen dead. From memories past, you slash and slash. I convulse and thrash, grasping at the glimmer we might still be good as black blood runs from my tear duct to my lips. End poem.
Wow, those last few lines, just what imagery, grasping at the glimmer, we might still be good as black blood runs from my tear duct to my lips. Oh, that is so powerful. So it just stood out for me of the power of words, the power of the whole piece, and the power that someone's words can give you and do to you. And it's so true. I mean, words are powerful. And like just describing like a butchered cattle hanging on a meat hook for grisly men to skin and carve, peeling away my most precious pieces, peeling away what's meant to come out of there and leaving the rest, the grisly meat hook butchered cattle, is like just so wonderfully written. And I really enjoyed the metaphor, tasting the rose water on your lips. Like the words are like rose water. Just so awesome job, Cedar. So impressed. And Weaver, what was your take on this one?
Oh, this is powerful. This is so powerful. I know words can cut. Words can hurt. But this is taking it to that level where it's really carnage, isn't it? Whittled deep to my bone, I scream. My pupils dilated wide. My smile frozen dead from memories past. That's really, that gets to you, doesn't it? I thought this was beautifully written. It is so raw. There's no getting past this. This is a raw piece of work. This man has put so much into this. I'm saying man, I don't know. But yes, I thought it was absolutely wonderful. It made me a little bit, the last couple of lines. We might still be good as black blood runs from my tear ducts to my lips. That's powerful. Yes, very, very interesting, very enjoyable, very well written, and creeped me out.
Yes, it's very well written, and the comparison of what words used to be like for this writer, and then moving into what words are like now, you know, and words used to give this writer so much, the rose water on the lips and everything they look for each night, to now the words are worthless. It just bleed you dry. And oh, it's just so captured. So that's life. That's life for a lot of us. Life is, the words are like life. Life captures us. Sometimes life is good. Sometimes it isn't. But this was really, really well captured. And Pam, what was your take?
Yeah, this was another one from Cedar that had amazing imagery and metaphors. I've always been a fan of the imagery and the metaphor of using bone. Whittled deep to my bone, I scream, my pupils dilated wide, my smile frozen dead from memories past. I really felt this was an emotive write on the whole idea of how words have a power to heal, but they also have the power to damage. So beautifully written and very well done.
Very well said, and that's so true. Words do have the power to bring us up, and words have the power to slam us down. And when you think of it, it's people. We people have the power to bring us up, and people have the power to slam us down, because people are behind the words, and they are all examples of what we endure or put out in life. And it's just, yeah, I enjoyed that take on that. And Bobby, what was your feel on this one?
Well, this is a powerfully raw, visceral piece, painted in painfully vivid visual imagery. You slash and slash, I convulse and thrash, grasping at the glimmer we might still be good as black blood runs to my lips. Evocative emotional carnage after bliss transforms to blood and bile. Just a stunning rite.
Very much so. Very, very enjoyable rite. Thank you again, Cedar. Love your work. And Weaver, where will you be taking us next?
We have The Reminiscences of Our Kiss and a Dream by Hakapako, by our very own Hakapako. Diane, would you like to read this?
Yes, my friend, I certainly would. And thank you, Hakapako. I'm excited about reading yours. The Reminiscence of Our Kiss and a Dream. Crimson peaks in morning. Lilies bend to a river. Unfurling to an ode. We cremate a kiss. Subtly, our hands close. Aw, now that was feel good. That was beautiful. I like it. It gave me a nice warm hug over my body. Unfurling to an ode. We cremate a kiss. Our hands close. Just so well written. So 21 words and captures a moment and a experience that two people will never forget. And Pam, what was your take on this one?
I'm sorry, whose name did you say?
I'm sorry, I said Pam.
Okay, I just missed the name. Sorry about that. I can see why Harko is so into brevity, wanted to start a brevity group, wanted to have a brevity show, because he really has a talent for it. This has beautiful imagery. I thought it had a delicate sense of passion to it, and I particularly like unfurling to an ode. The idea of opening up to that song that reminds you of a past love. At least that's kind of what it speaks to me of. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yes, and you're so right, Pam, that, you know, you can see the passion of brevities in this, right, for Adam, for Harko. You can feel the power in the brevity, and this makes me appreciate brevity. I mean, this to me is a 100-word poem because of what it says. It captures everything I haven't been able to say in 21 words, and just stands out and describes an experience everybody will relate to. Just so well done. And Bobby, what did you feel on this?
I spent a year in Okinawa, so I was steeped in Japanese culture, and I grew to appreciate it and their minimalism. And when I read this, the first word that popped into my head was ikebana. And what ikebana is I-K-I-B-A-N-A. What it is the art of flower arranging in Japan. And the reason I mention this is because ikebana is very minimalist, and they have three elements. There's seven principles, but there's three symbols. And I see all three of these symbols in his piece. The complete structure of a Japanese floral arrangement focuses on three main points symbolizing the sky, the earth, and man. And through three pillars of symmetry, asymmetry, space, and depth. And he's the three stems represent heaven, earth, and man. And he's got them right here in writing. So this is verbal ikebana, and it is elegant in its simplicity.
My goodness, that's excellent. thank you for that information, because like that's so true. I never realized that, or I never knew that before. But to see it and to see it in writing like that is beautiful. It's so well put together, and
it is
and like the three pieces and the man and the earth and
Tikibana.
Weaver, what was your feel on this?
Well, I have to say thank you as well. I do love learning things. And that particular group of people, I think, are amazing in the fact that they can put so much into so little, the same as,
yes,
as our
yes.
Aco Parco has. I mean, it's just, I would love to go there. I really would, because I think it would just speak to me as this does. I particularly like Lily's Bend to a River. Isn't that just, you know, Lily's Bend to a river? Not on it or beside it, but to it. Just lovely. And then Unfurling to an Ode. Yeah. I think this was beautifully written, and I do appreciate, I appreciate brevities very much. I don't write them, but I like to listen and to read them. And he does it so well. So thank you very much, Adam. It was lovely.
It indeed was lovely, and very well said, Weaver. That's so true. That I mean, I don't write a lot of brevities either, but I love them, and I love the really well-written ones, the ones that can, you know, capture me in the moment and give a message to me in 20 words or 21 words and capture and pull out exactly what I wanted to read. It's just amazing. So are we going next week?
Well, next we have Was I Just Chasing a Dead Dream by Kiku. And Diane, would you like to read this, my darling?
Yes, I would. Was I Just Chasing a Dead Dream? What was black? An echoing voice, now white, an empty page for me to fill. You poured honey into my ears while I traced my dreams onto the cold window. In the passenger seat of an old Corolla, our words once pieced together still spin in recordings of scratched vinyl. End poem. Wow, what a powerful, powerful brevity. Word count 50. 50 words and such a powerful message. Starting out with emptiness or starting out with an empty page to fill, and where are you going to go from there to fill that page? And what was black and echoing voices now white, an empty page for me to fill? Just, I love starting lines that capture me, that make me think, that really pull on my creative energies. It's just amazing choice of words. And Bobby, what was your take on it?
I'm reading the AN. It says the prompt reminded the author of how sometimes chasing our dreams means leaving others behind, or perhaps in these darker times I want to escape into the days of old music, that old music spoke of, which I like the duplicity if here. And it talks about a world's once pieced together still spins in recordings of scratched vinyl. And the imagery there of calling back to, you listen to the music and it reminds you of a bygone day, but the recording is damaged and so are the memories. So the subtlety of this piece, and you poured honey into my ears while I traced my dreams on the cold window. That you can see someone sitting in the passenger seat and just lost in the 1,000-yard stare looking out the window. This is so this is such an economical right with so much power.
Very much power. So true. Very well said. Because what I felt in this piece was, you know, it started out where the writer had anywhere to go, any place to start off and go, and ended up with the world, how their worlds were pieced together, And I love the metaphor still spins in recordings of scratch vinyl. I love that. That just brings the image to my mind of my childhood times, scratch vinyl. And it's just so beautifully pulled out of this message here of chasing a dead dream. And, Pam, what did you feel on this one?
Yeah, I too really like the nostalgic feel of mentioning the scratched vinyl, or even like using the word old and choosing a specific car, the Corolla. You know, it feels very much like memories of youth. You know, this was a beautiful brevity. And I like how, to me, it speaks on those memories that are so beautiful, and yet because they're memories, because they no longer exist, they bring that pain to the heart. So wonderfully written and very well done.
And very well said. I so like what you said about that and the poured honey into my ears while I traced my dreams onto the cold window in the passenger seat of an old Corolla. I mean, that put such an image in my mind. How many times in my 80s and 70s, I sat in my car in the cold, and the fact that you're sitting there tracing your dreams onto the cold window, chasing dreams, and somebody pours honey into your ears and makes it such a difference that the world looks different. It was a very powerful metaphor. And Weaver, did I ask you, my friend?
No, you didn't. But I think everybody's more or less said exactly what I was thinking, that it is very powerful. And there is nothing better on this earth than listening to vinyl. It has a depth, and it holds memories. I even have some old 78s. That's how much I love them. And I have one of those old gramophones with the horns that you wind up. I love it. So, yes, I can fully understand why you'd want to trace your dreams onto the cold window and think about the world that you used to know. Because it is. It's still spinning there. You might not be in it, but it still spins, and it still makes beautiful music. So, yes, very, very well done. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Very, very much so. And I love the title. After reading the piece, it just says it all. Was I just chasing a dead dream? For sure. Really well written. Thank you very much, Keiku, for this piece. And Weaver, my friend, where would we be going next?
We have I Am in Your Heart by SSM. And, Pam, would you like to read this?
I would be happy to. All right, and here we go. I Am in Your Heart by SSM, and it goes like this. If you feel alone, don't forget, the earth is my loving lap. These flowers are the smile you bring to my face. These winds are my light pat. The trilling of birds is me calling your name to enlighten your path. I have lit the sun's flame. The starlit night quit. The starlit night quilt I have laid to give you warmth. Nowhere else. I am in your heart. End poem.
I Am in Your Heart. I love the title. I love the feel of the piece, the poem. I feel a mother. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, when I'm in someone's heart like that, I know for sure I was in my mom's heart like that, and my mom would have used the same wording and stuff to describe that, but not as poetic for sure. But I know, like, I can really relate to somebody loving you that much so that you light the sun's flame. I mean, that is beautifully said and beautiful, pulls out everything. And this starlit night quilt, that's what led me to a mom, because a mom would put that quilt over you to give you warmth. And I love this piece. And Weaver, what was your feel on this one?
Oh, just, yes. It just pours out love, doesn't it? It's just so beautiful. If you feel alone, don't forget the earth is my loving lap. Yes, it does. It does speak of a mother's love, doesn't it? Because there's no one else that would love you like that, I don't think, would think of you like that. These flowers are the smile you bring to my face. These winds are my light path. Isn't that just lovely? Yes, I think it's beautifully written. I do like her work. It's so tender. It's light, but it has so much meaning to it. You know, everything in this points to somebody who really cares about you and thinks about you. And yeah, I think it was absolutely beautiful. Well done, SSM.
Totally agree. Well said. Well said. And Bobby, what did you feel on this one?
Deeply affectionate, right, of a nurturing relationship. And I wrote in my comments, thank you. You just described my beloved grandmother.
Yeah, I'm sure, eh? Like, I get that feeling, too. Like, I just today is a day I can wrap myself up in that kind of love and just snuggle up in it. And Pam, what did you get from this one?
Yeah, I have to agree with you all. I mean, it's a beautiful, heartfelt write. I like how they used a lot of nature imagery and metaphors to speak on the idea that this love that continues on even after death, the love of a parent or a grandparent. You know, I like how there's this idea of that eternal connection that will always be close no matter what. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you very much for saying that. I totally agree. This one just brought out the same in all of us. It's just that warm, you know, that feeling of like, wow, feel good, really feel good. Thank you, SSM, for sending this one in. And did I ask everyone? I think I did.
Yeah.
Okay, so next we have Weaver.
Oh, next we have Shanty of Replete by Machiavellia Kelly. I love that name. I will read this one, I think, if you don't mind, ladies. Shanty of Replete. Anger, creeping, a silent rowdiness, asking thine keeper, forthcoming impolite assertions, to the tune of marrying reliance, sorry, quickens action minus journey, jury, plus executioner, hasting judgment, quaking fracture, faulting creed, and will. Anger creeps angrily to the mouth and fist, during respite infrequent, pouring rancid gestate, so answering politely to a call of guilt and guilted action. Anger leave, and leave soon. I fear thy mighty swoon. End poem.
Wow.
And apologies for my stumbling there. Sorry.
All good. Well read. That was that piece. Just, and I love the name, too. I can't pronounce it, but I love it. Shanty of Replete. Being full, being fulfilled, being full. And it sounds like full of anger, anger creeping, a silent rowdiness, asking thine keeper. It's just the emotion and the imagery in it of how anger can creep up on us and take from us what we don't want to put out there. And anger is powerful. Anger creeps angrily to the mouth and fist. So too, it's like anger brings out in us what we don't know we have all the time. And Weaver, you read that well. What was your take on that?
Yes, I'm afraid I didn't find that easy to read. I do apologize. But beautifully written, obviously. I mean, I like the fact that it makes me think, makes me, you know, pay more attention to what I'm doing. It's annoying for the person who's written it, and I do apologize for that. But I thought it was beautifully written. Anger creeping a silent rowdiness, asking thine keeper, forthcoming impolite assertions. I mean, they're just beautiful words, beautifully put together. And it is anger. It speaks of anger, doesn't it? Pouring rancid gestate. So, yes, I thought it was very well written. And it, you know, it's obviously about somebody who was really not very happy about something. So I hope the executioner didn't arrive too quickly about this. But I really, I enjoyed it a lot. Thank you very much. Machiavelli Kelly. Love your name.
Machiavelli Kelly. Yes, now I can say it. Thank you for pronouncing that for me. Well, both of you did, but I can say it. And they make this piece, it pulls out emotion, like anger leave and leave soon. I fear thy mighty swoon. And it's all around the guilt, answering politely to a call of guilt and guilt of action. And guilt of action brings more anger usually, and anger that won't go around and keeps going around in a mighty swoon. It's just very well described, and words pulled out of here to give an image that is so relatable. And Pam, what was your feel on this one?
Well, you know, this one is intriguing to me. I mean, it's very, seems to be anyways, very clearly about anger, how it sneaks off on us, how oftentimes it comes about because, you know, people are quick to judge rather than communicate, and it rips life apart. But there's a juxtaposition or a sense of irony in this one that comes to me because of the title, Shanty of Replete. Historically, a shanty is a song sung by sailors, and it's usually a rhyming song, and it was usually sung for the purpose of keeping up the spirits of the sailors who, you know, and giving entertainment, you know. It was just a way to make sure that men who were out at sea for months on end, you know, had a way to stay happy, to keep their spirits up, to stay entertained. And so to have a free verse poem that is titled as a shanty, to me, I instantly go, now that's interesting. That's interesting because this is the complete opposite of what a shanty should be. And so within that I think there is that bite of irony that, you know, within that. I did particularly like anger creeps angrily to the mouth and fist, doling respite infrequent, polling rancid, jested, so answering politely to a call of guilt and guilted action. You know, sometimes we just don't want to admit those things that we did wrong, or even the opposite, we don't admit things that have been done to hurt us. But, you know, there's really a visceral imagery in the whole idea of what, you know, anger does to the spirit and what it does to the life. So beautifully written. And I would actually be interested in Machiavelli Kelly telling us, you know, if there was a you know, a purposeful reason for the use of using shanty and then having a such an extremely dark poem, because I do find that intriguing. Beautifully written and very well done.
Very, very good. I like that take on it, Pam. That being a shanty, of course, you know, you would expect it coming out differently in it. And it was so well done. And the irony, like, you know, of deeming it a shanty of replete. It's just titling it. It was really, really well written. And thank you very much, Machiavelli Kelly. And did I catch everyone on that? I think I did.
No.
Who did I miss?
Oh. Bobby. You mean Bobby.
Oh, my friend Bobby. My bad. Go ahead.
Well, I was listening to what Pam said, and I'm grateful for her reminding me that a shanty was a sea chant or a sea song, because when I saw shanty, I thought of the other definition, which is a shack or a small, crudely built shack. And when I looked at this title, Shanty of Replete, I remembered you're clarifying that replete means full of something. So I see a dwelling filled with anger. And it reminds me of, it's a provocative write on the price of indulging that anger. And as my late friend would say, she used to say, 30 seconds of satisfaction, weeks of damage control. And I never forgot that because it talks anger creeps angrily into the mouth and fist, dulling, respite, infrequent. And it's true. It's the battles you don't fight if you indulge yourself in the luxury of anger and of striking out at someone, what kind of collateral damage do you do? So that's what I saw in this.
Very, very good take on it. I love that when we have many callers calling in and commenting on the pieces, because it gives, you know, it gives the piece such an air of transparency of across the board of how it reaches people and what it pulls out in us. It just I enjoy what it does, these pieces like this.
Absolutely. Can I really quick say something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say thank you, Bobby, because in all honesty, I didn't know that other definition existed. Like, I didn't know shanty was another word for shed. So, you know, in my mind, I'm trying to figure out how this works with the whole idea of being, you know, an uplifting sea song. And the metaphor for the falling apart shed that would be the anger makes so much sense. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Well said.
Okay, and next we are headed.
Well, next we have, now I don't actually know who this person is. I'm just trying to, the name, I recognize the name. It's Moonwhipped by Diane D. Would she be amongst us, do you think?
Oh, I've heard about her. She's a troublemaker.
No, I wasn't going to say that, but I thought I'd get slapped. Yes, okay.
Gee,
so we have...
thanks, Tamray. Oh, thank you, Weaver. I would be honored to go ahead and read this one. Moonwhipped. Pity the icy, slithered silver moon. She wants to claw into teal skin, to suck Aurora's glow into her lips, and to exhale her nits into the sky that smear the horizon vanta black while light hides herself in the trees. End poem. And Pam, would you like to comment on this author's work?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be happy to. First of all, beautiful read there, Diane. I really like the imagery in this one. The use of use the word teal, I thought was a great choice. I really liked this personification of the silver moon. Wonderful use of imagery. Vanta black is another great word choice. And to exhale her nits into the sky that smear the horizon, vanta black, white light hides up to the trees. It's wonderful personification. And to me, to describe the little specks of stars as the nits of the moon, I mean, like,
yeah,
you can just
yeah.
imagine her. Yeah, I like it. I like it. It's clever. It's different. And it gives you a perspective of how truly small the stars can look when we look up at them. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That's a very well-worded comment. I very much appreciate that. Thank you. And my friend Weaver, what's your take?
Oh, I think it was absolutely lovely. I thought it was so lovely. The picture, apart from anything else, is absolutely beautiful. Not that it's got anything to do with your right, but it's absolutely gorgeous, and it sets the scene for me. The icy, slithered silver moon. I mean, that's it. It's an icy slither, isn't it? Oh, it's beautiful. She wants to claw into teal skins to suck Aurora's glow into her lips. That's just really, really... It's pretty. I hope that's not in any way an insult, but I think it is so pretty. That is just a lovely, lovely piece of work, and I really enjoyed it. That smear the horizon vanderblack, while light hides herself in the trees. That's something else I have to look up. Oh, learning more every day. But yes, I thought it was absolutely lovely, Diana. It's so well done. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's lovely.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. And Bobby, what did you feel on this one?
I've found it a very interesting perspective because I actually wrote also to this contest. And my version was, or my take on it was, my interpretation of the prompt was diametrically opposed to yours. It was so totally different that I really enjoyed reading yours because it gave me a completely different perspective on the picture. And I agree with Pam that the expression of nits as the stars is wonderfully clever. I never would have thought of that. When the light hides itself in the trees, and teal, yes, I looked at that. The photograph to me with the image was very compelling. But I really like your interpretation of it.
Thank you, Bobby. I enjoyed this contest. I know this is one of Lynn's contests of the six lines, and I you know what, guys? I've been trying for months since I started AP. My goal was to place in one of Lynn's contests because the images she puts out, this image I just saw it, and it was like, wow,
Perhaps I shouldn't tell you in this contest I got the gold.
Did you? Well, good for you.
Oh,
I'm gonna have to
congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Beautiful image. Beautiful image. But, yeah, thank you guys all so very much. Very much enjoyed these rights. And we have time for some more, and I'm reading on the board here. What's happening next?
Well, actually, I was looking for Bobby's and I can't find it. I'm terribly sorry. What's it called?
I already posted it in the room.
Pardon?
Oh, yes, I did. I'm sorry. I did. I put it in the chat room. Is that wrong?
No, not at all. Saves me trying to find it, doesn't it?
Let's do this. Make a suggestion. Since we're on that image, let me offer what I wrote, and we can compare.
Yes.
Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got yours up here. I was going to read yours again. That won't do. I wrote to the same image, I wrote a falling crescent moon. White feathery clouds draw a veil of stars across the sky. The night's soft breezes whisper an ancient lullaby. In a fairy tale forest, drowsy pines stretch and yawn, slumbering quietly in the warm earth until dawn. And the indigo velvet heavens form a blanket wide and deep as a falling crescent moon rocks the weary world to sleep.
Wow, yeah. So I can see why this took gold. This is a great... Of the same image, I'm so glad that this came up because I love takes on the different images, and I usually read them when I'm going through them. But this is beautiful, Bobby, and there is
Thank
a
you.
Lot of personification and light feathery clouds draw a veil of stars across the sky. See where this one go, girl. Well done, and Pam, what was
Thank
your
you.
Take?
Yeah, this is beautifully written, a well deserved goal. I really like in a fairy tale forest, drowsy pines stretch and yawn, slumbering quietly in the warm earth until dawn. That had a beautiful rhyme and flow to it. It was wonderful personification. And I really like how it's that idea of the trees just waking up and reaching towards the sky in that stretch of their branches. So beautifully written, Bobby. Very well done.
Yes, and the senses that it draws, the sense of sound, the night soft breezes whisper an ancient lullaby. Just Bobby captured this just amazingly, and I really enjoyed reading it. And Weaver, what was your take on this?
Oh, well, I'm so glad you read it. I'm so glad you put it for us to see as well. Absolutely beautiful. Just light feathery clouds draw a veil of stars across the... I mean, it's amazing how two people can look at the same thing and come out with two beautiful pieces of work. Beautiful, both of them. But it's just so sweet, this one. And it's a fairy tale forest, drowsy pines stretch and yawn. That's just a lovely image, isn't it? So, yes, I think it was beautifully written, and thank you so much for sharing it.
Thank you for letting me.
My pleasure.
Yes, thank you all very much. I think we're at the end, and I just want to thank everyone for hanging out on the board and calling in. Bobby, Weaver, Pam, thank you guys so much for the show and for the beautiful
Such a pleasure.
Write. The
Such
amazing
a pleasure.
Write. Unbelievable.
It was very enjoyable. Thank you, ladies.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Great show, everyone.
Good night, goodbye, good evening, good morning.
Goodbye.
Cheerio.